FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
This lunchtime we've got the one, the only Isle of Wight Council leader, Phil Jordan. I was going to play you on with René and Renato, I wanted you to stick around.
I've been 40 years trying to leave that behind, Ian. Thank you so much. I watch those, you know, you get some of those TV programmes sometimes on BBC Two, it usually is, and it's One Hit Wonders. And I was really waiting for the one hit to come up.
It actually came up in a pop quiz recently.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And we asked for a bonus point because if we could say, could we name the bass player? Can we can we have a bonus point? Hey, look, Phil, what a difficult couple of weeks you've had. I mean, not just you. I mean, you've had some difficult decisions to make with the council budget and so on. So how did you feel once that was done?
Yeah, so thank you, Ian. Look, mixed reactions about it. Yeah, a couple of it's been real tough time. So it was really difficult trying to get a budget agreed by everyone that we, under the real difficult circumstances we're in, to get that agreed. So that was a tough time. When it was done, there was a feeling of relief. It, you know, truthfully, we got it done. And,
do you know what it also felt like? It felt like there were a number of people from across parties that were all kind of, I don't know, not having sympathy for each other, but having respect for each other because you've all had to make this difficult decision. There were one or two that didn't come across that way, but on the whole, people sort of came across in a way that you thought, you know, this was not what they were elected for, to make decisions like this.
Well, both things. Thanks, Ian, also for that, because you're right. Two things. You don't come into this job to make these kinds of difficult decisions for the community that you live in and represent. You don't. But that said, it comes with a job and you have to do it. So you do it and you stand up to it. I'm pleased to hear that it looked like we were working, not only looked like we were, but working together finally as certainly the three main groups on the Isle of Wight Council. So, you know, over two-thirds, over 30 of the councillors represented by those three leaders, group leaders, and we did come to an agreement in the end. It took us the best part of lots of meetings before, but best part of an hour we went out the chamber, as you know, and it was a difficult discussion, but we worked together and got us there as a budget for our council and therefore for our community.
Okay, so you got that, you got it over the line.
Yeah.
If you hadn't have got it over the line, and I say, what's the alternative now? If we don't move forward, if we don't gain any more funds, what's going to happen in the next 12 months?
Because
I'm feeling sorry for anyone that's working in a council that is having to live under these conditions on a daily basis now, whether you're elected or non-elected. It's just a cloud, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really difficult. Look, it's difficult. We're not alone. Our council's not alone. That's the first thing to say. There are councils right across the country in similar and, in some cases, worse position. In fact, last year, there were 36 councils got exceptional financial support. That's last year. I expect that number to increase this year. And the Isle of Wight Council will be one of those in that position. So the funding isn't working for us. Our demands for services are growing, particularly on social care. And the two don't, our funding's going down, our demand for services is going up, and the two things don't match, so there's a gap problem. The fair funding review's anything but fair for this island anyway. And we know, because we've had the 3-year settlement, that means we know for the next 3 years how much government they're going to give us. First time they've done that. Usually it's been year by year. So we know what next year's going to look like in terms of money coming in from government and the year after. And at this moment in time, it's going to look a tough, really tough bridge to cross to make the budget balance this time next year.
So what will be the alternative? narrative if you can't balance it? What happens then? If some, I mean, I've heard rumours that all that happens is that a government, whoever they are, come in and start running things. Well, that's helpful. Yeah. I mean, I say, what are you going to pay them to come in? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No, that makes no sense. And we're desperate and desperately trying to make sure that doesn't happen. But that is an outcome. If you can't set a budget, you have to tell government you can't set your budget. It has to be legal and lawful. So you can't just guess this stuff. You can't say, oh, we think we might be. Or you can't, that doesn't work like that. We've got all our numbers. And if we can't make the budget legal and lawful, then we have to tell government. There's all kinds of steps government can take short of sending in what they call commissioners. So we're not looking at that at this moment in time. But there's a reality, and we keep knocking the door. I'm meeting government still. We've got a meeting coming up with MHCLG in about a week, 2 weeks' time, to discuss funding again.
What is MHG or whatever it was?
So that's the Ministry of Housing and Local Government.
Right.
Communities like that, Ministry of Housing, MHCLG, Communities and Local Government, right. MHCLG. So government. So we're meeting them again, and we're going to be re-emphasising that this island, because it's an island, needs funding differently to any mainland authority. And up until now, that's where our problem's been. But the government just don't seem to want to accept that it costs more to deliver services on this island.
Well, it's not rocket science. I mean, you know, they say they're going to send people down. It might be a good idea to send them down.
Well, we did.
Then you'll know just how blooming difficult it is.
Ian, that was part of our discussions and consideration. You do, you know, in a moment of madness, you think, well, we know that we've done everything we've had to do. We know that. We've cut where we've had to cut. We've put council. We've done all the things that you've forced upon us. There's nowhere to turn. If you don't believe us, come and have a look yourself. Come and open the cupboard door yourself. We did think about that. But look, you know, at the moment, we don't want commissioners here. We can manage our island better locally. And we're going to still try and do that.
So I guess it's down to, you know, cross parties to make sure that happens. So, I mean, look, we've seen it happen. They've come together. They've got something over the line. You know, the island benefits, you benefit, you know, the councillors benefit as well, because the alternative is someone else comes down and tells you what to do. Mm. And that's that. We don't want that, I guess. But I say, every now and again, maybe we should remind ourselves that we can work together and we can get this across the line. There seems to be, and I mean, there has been for numerous years, but it just gets a bit more, I don't know, harder to work cross-party because of certain individuals. And I know we're going to come on to elections in a minute because, you know, we've only got, what, another week of talking like this, and then we have to be really careful with what we say.
Actually, 30th of March.
30, I thought it was the 22nd.
30th.
Right, OK. So, look, I mean, at the moment, I'm looking at it and thinking, who do you vote for then?
Yeah.
Because it seems like, you know, on a national side, when you look at all the colours, you think, OK, Labour got in with such a noise and such a majority. They don't seem to be doing much in the way of looking after people like us from the island. Conservatives didn't either. You're running out of main parties. And, you know, I know there was a big noise last night. And just to put that into perspective, I know that we've been having stuff put through our door recently. And it says that we're rebuilding the country one by one at a time. We're working on the different councils. Well, I did some research on this. And it ain't very favourable for reform up and down. If you really believe what they're doing, fixing the councils, they're not. Do some research. I don't need to read that to anybody. Just do some research. They're not. It doesn't look good at all. So who the hell do we vote for when it comes down to, you know, the 4th of May now? I mean, we're probably... This election is probably the most... And I know we say this every time, but on the Isle of Wight, it's probably the most important election that we've had since I can remember, because I think we're either going to go one way or we're going to drown. And I think that is the scary thing. There's so much hype with what's going on and people supposedly fixing the country up and down, working on councils. I mean, it's only a few, but the ones that they've gone into, they've made a right pig's ear of. And I mean, here we are today, we're having someone reinstated. That doesn't look good, does it? You've got somebody that was oiked out by their own team, and now they're being put back in. I look at that and I think, do you actually know what you're doing? And God forbid they get hold of the council as well, this one, to make a right pig's ear of it. So who the hell do we vote for, Phil?
So that's really interested, Ian, all of that. And firstly, to say, as you know, long time, I'm independent of party politics. So locally, what we're seeing, it appears, is we're getting national politics played out here on our island, almost as though the island's been selected by a particular political party to testbed how the voters will accept them. In time for the general election, when that comes, whenever that comes. And it seems that's we've become a testbed. It's probably the worst thing that we could be a testbed for. We were a testbed for lots of things, but not national politics, eh? So I guess, look, it's local elections. You're going to vote for 39 local councillors. They will come from different walks of their political colours, and they will stand in front of you and say, vote for me and I will do this, this and this for you, or however they're going to do it. Of course, what happens is when the 39 councillors are elected and they form the new council, that new council makes all the decisions, not the individual councillors directly. So what you want is somebody that you think and believes can represent, when you need them to, represent your wishes and your problems in the council. So as council, you get councillors in and talk to them, and they'll, if you say to them, so what do you do? What's your job? You know, well, I'll tell you, a lot of my job is sorting out problems in my ward for my residents that have problems that they want resolving. They could be a whole host of things. It could be the road outside. It could be waste collection. It could be planning. Could be dog fouling on the pavement. Yellow lines. It could be a whole host of things. Children in education or not in education. Adult social care. Children's care. All those things. And of course, as a councillor, a local councillor, what you need to do is take that to the relevant officers in the council, the staff, officers. Staff and try and get a resolution for your resident or residents. And the trick is that for a good councillor is to be able to do that, represent your resident, know who to go to and what to say. That's the trick. That's the councillor you want to elect.
Okay, I mean, that all makes sense. I mean, that all does make sense, but obviously they're all hampered with the fact that there's only so much they can do because there's only so much money that there is in the system. And it just you look at it and you think, right, okay, we had X amount of years under the Tory regime, then we've had Labour now, they're coming up to 2 years, and you think, well, hang on a minute, they're still not listening, they're still not hearing that the Isle of Wight should be treated differently because of that. I'm guessing the stretch of water, that's what makes it different. And obviously, you know, the age problem here on the Isle of Wight. I'm going to say it shouldn't be a problem. We should just accept that we need to have more care here on the Isle of Wight because what it is. And I just don't feel as though we're getting there. I don't feel that people are listening. And I mean, let's be honest, we've now got two MPs, and they're, you know, one red, one blue. They're banging the drum, obviously, but are they shouting loud enough? And why are we just accepting that, sorry, you're not going to get any more money?
Well, Ian, we're not accepting that. And neither are both MPs. In fairness, not here to defend either MP, but I've been up to Westminster and go up and with the MPs. And in their own way, and they're in different political parties, one in government, one not, they're doing great work for this island. Richard, who's in government, his party's in government, have access to ministers more easily than, say, Joe, who's the opposition party, the Conservatives. But Joe can ask all the very awkward, difficult questions, and does, and works hard in the background doing that. Both of them are there's almost a counterbalance, and the seesaw looks sort of fairly level to me in terms of getting access to important ministers and people asking awkward questions that say Richard can't because he's in government, because his government, that his whip will be saying, we don't want you asking those sorts of questions, you know, Richard, they're not very helpful to our government. Joe can do that, so that's great. I as well, working with both of them, continue to say to government, you have to fund us better, and here's the evidence. Or if you don't accept the evidence, because that's where we're at again at the moment, what evidence is it? How do you want to see the evidence? That's what we're now saying to government. How do you want to see the evidence? Because we've got it. We can demonstrate it costs more money to deliver the same services as across the water on this island. How do you want us to present it to you so you can say, yes, we accept it? That's what we're working on right now.
Okay, well, thanks for pointing that out. And I mean, so I'm not having to go at Joe, and I'm not having to go at Richard Quigley either. I just get frustrated because we just don't. It seems to be the same story. You know, we're not getting the funds that we deserve and need, more importantly, need. And, you know, we just seem to be hearing that too many times. And it is. It's really, really frustrating. I think sometimes, and I think, you know, I don't want to go out and have a go at our media on the island. We obviously play a part in that. But I think maybe if we were a little bit more together instead of split, maybe that big noise that we need to make is and I would say that if I was an MP or if I was working at, you know, Westminster, I'd be saying, look, they're all arguing down there, blue and red, you know, they're all having like, and now there's other people that have split off and they're doing other things. They're never going to be able to do anything. They're never going to be able to make a noise, so don't worry about it. Whereas all of a sudden, if you've got one big voice and the media are all together shouting that big voice as well, I think that people would have to listen. But at the moment, I would just come back to that thing where people, don't worry about them, they're all right, they're arguing amongst themselves.
Well, look, Ian, you're right about the media, actually. That's very good comment, that, I think. The media could be more cohesive. I mean, there are times I see stories that and involved in stories and media, right? You know, I release information and stuff. And sometimes it in some instances that the story somehow isn't the story that we want to tell. It's somehow morphed into a different sort of story, or we focus on things that are not the big picture that we really ought to be focusing on, such as our money, our funding. Look, that's the key problem is the government continue to want us to deliver these services. They tell us, we don't choose to. We don't say, put our hands up when we're in the room, say, we'll look after all the old people on this island, thank you very much. No, that's not how it works. Government say, you will look after all the old people on the island, and here's a little bit of money, here's the money for that. You know, here's our fund. And we say, yeah, but that's not enough, because our demand's growing, people are coming into the system and wanting funding and wanting support and looking after more and in more quantities and in more depth of their care. And the money you give us just doesn't do it, doesn't cut it. It's not enough. So then what happens is ironic. These discussions we have with civil servants in London, as I do, they say, well, compared to, and then they'll say somewhere on the mainland, and I say, but that's the problem, that's the fundamental problem, is you're comparing us with the mainland and it doesn't work. That's our case, you can't compare it. So look, you know, it's,
I can see you frustrated.
I'd
be pulling my hair out, because as I say, it's just trying to get these people to actually see what's quite clear. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it? How do we compare to other islands, though? I mean, you know...
Well, there are no... That's interesting. What other islands? I mean, you have the Isle of Sheppey. It's not really, it's down there in the Thames there, the Isle of Sheppey. You have the Isle of Scilly, 2,000 residents. You have the Isle of Man, that's a protectorate. Yeah, there are... We are unique. That's our point. You know, when I'm making the point about you keep comparing us. We are so unique. As this island, this Isle of Wight, you can't compare us. Stop comparing us. Start looking at the Isle of Wight as the Isle of Wight.
Okay. Who would you like to get down here then? Just to sort of say, look,
down.
You know.
Well, we
come on down. Come and visit. We'll take you around.
Yeah. Well, we've done quite a few ministers. I've taken a few ministers round, and Richard and Joe has too at varying times. You know, who's going to come down that's make any difference now, Ian? We're talking to the minister, the senior ministers of government. I mean, if we're talking about getting the Prime Minister, he probably won't come, but I don't. We could ask, but that's not how it works. This our funding's controlled through that MHCLG, Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, and their minister. And we're in direct contact with the minister and her team.
Okay, I mean, obviously we know what's gone on in the last 10 days. We've got another war that nobody wanted. Nobody said, nobody knew anything about it all of a sudden. And lots of people are now saying, our good old British media are now saying, well, we're going to be poorer in the pocket now because of that. I mean, how do you feel about that? Because this now, it almost like if we were down the queue a little bit waiting for somebody to come down and rubber stamp some more funding, we're going to be even further back now, aren't we?
Yeah, so can you... Exactly. So can you imagine that? So up in government, they're trying to run the country and the government and the financial, the handbag of the country, and suddenly there's some money getting pulled out to, you know, buy whatever is it they're buying, rockets and bombs and planes and whatever they got to buy. Us right down the back of the queue saying, you know, we're 24 million, that's what we want. Yeah, they'd probably spend that on a rocket. I don't know how much rockets cost these days, but
I'm glad
it's
you
not
don't.
Many.
I'm glad you don't, because if you did, I'd be a little bit worried.
Yeah.
How bad are things? Have you ever known it to be, you know, as tight as this?
No, I mean, there were it all started in 2010. That's when the then government, happened to be conservative, but started what they called their austerity and started cutting funding to local government. And it went on and has gone on every year since. But before 2010, we'll call it the good old days, they had people run the council. Things were getting, there was money. There was money on the island. Things were getting built, things were getting done. And it just suddenly stopped or started to stop. In 2010. It's just got worse year on year on year since then. But look, in amongst all that, Ian, the other thing, remember, in amongst all that, we're doing some things that are really positive and helpful to our community here. So, for example, I'll give you one example. We have a number of families who, whatever circumstances, are in temporary accommodation. They're homeless, effectively. They can be there for all sorts of reasons. You know, it could be family breakup, domestic violence, all sorts of reasons. And we have these numbers of families in temporary accommodation. Some of that temporary accommodation is a caravan or it could be a hotel room. We have started to acquire, and we're buying them, new homes that have just been built. We've done an agreement to buy 17 at Godshill. There's another 10 coming on. We've agreed to buy some, and already bought some up that Captiva are building up and Sovereign up at Oak Farm, up here at Horsebridge Hill. And we're putting taking families out of caravans and hotel rooms and putting them in a house with their children. A proper house, somewhere where they can live and be proud of living. And we're making that, we'll eventually, because this is a journey, we'll stop all of that. We won't be putting families in temporary accommodation because we'll have the stock of houses to do that. So it's a long journey, but it's a positive start, and we're making a difference to children's lives right now as we sit here.
See, that's things like that don't get, they're not in the news enough. We're not shouting about the positives. I know that this whole, you know, this whole section of this show is kind of coming across as in a negative way. There is a negative story to tell here, but there are also some positives to do as well. And I know that one of your former colleagues years ago sat where you are now, and we started talking about apprenticeships for young people. And she was telling me that there were 400 apprenticeships got for young people in that particular year. It was only about 2017, 2018. And I said, "Well, why aren't you shouting about that?" Well, we always get slagged off when we shout about the positives. And you think, no, not in this day and age, not now. We need some positivity, because the way we look at this whole thing is, right, OK, if you're on the outside looking in, council ain't got any money, they're having to cut this, they're having to cut that, it's not good, it's not positive at all. But there are some, because you're still having to do things, you're still having to, you know, the housing situation you just mentioned there for those people. You think, how wonderful was that? Why aren't we shouting about that? At least that will give us some positivity. At least it will put a spring in our step. But then I guess you don't want to be too positive, because otherwise that lot up country will say, well, what are you moaning for? You got plenty.
Well, isn't that the irony of it all? However hard you work and try, get creative and find solutions to these problems, it rebounds on you. So, well, you're doing okay. You're getting people out of temporary accommodation. Look, we have to ignore that. We'll push on with this. We're determined. We will prevent people who are in unfortunate circumstances, sometimes often for no fault of their own, and find themselves with their families in a hotel room. We're going to get them out of the hotel rooms, and we're going to put them in a house.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And all of those people that are connected with doing that, and all the good stuff that is happening that we lose sight of sometimes. And in times of, you know, when they're difficult, maybe we've got to shout about those good times, the positives. Yeah. And I say, if we were to all shout together about the negatives, you know, all of our media just get on the same page and say, you know, this is, and send government a message, invite them down properly, come down and spend some time, you know, Mr. Starmer, and have a little look. You're not doing what you said you were going to do. Not you, but he is not. Yeah. They're not doing. It's almost like you're dealing with the same regime, the same wall. You're knocking your head up against the same people.
I think it's the system, Ian. I do notice when I go there. You remember that? I'm sure I've mentioned this before. You remember that programme back in the 70s or 80s, I think, was Yes Minister. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, it is like that. And I go, I can give you a recent example. Not, I won't take lots of time explaining it, but we met, as it was with devolution, we met the four leaders, so Hampshire, Southampton, Portsmouth, and myself, met with the minister alone, right, in a room, the five of us, just the minister and four, and we did it because they were, in small letters, the political leaders, right, and we agreed some things with that minister. It was a Friday. It was a Friday afternoon. We agreed things. That's very sensible. Yes, we can agree that. We can agree that. I will confirm that over the weekend, right? And you'll have the you know what I'm going to say, confirmation on Monday. Well, no, we didn't get the confirmation on Monday, nor did we get it on Tuesday. We got it about Wednesday, and it was the opposite of what we agreed, because the minister had spoken to her civil servant team, and they said, oh, minister, have you thought about this? That's not a good thing that we should. And so I saw at first hand how the civil service have much more control than public perhaps understand. They think the minister or the leader, and me in my role as leader, I think, are we all the leader? I'll get people email me or ring me. My phone number's on the internet. People ring me up. Say hello. It's, you know, it's whoever it is, Dorothy from Freshwater. And I've got a problem, Councillor Jordan. And they seem to think that I just, because I'm the leader, it's sort of Trump-like, I suppose. You just, so I do that. That's not how the system works. It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work for government that way either. And it's part of the problem, Ian. It's part of the problem is getting the civil servants to accept the things that the ministers are more open to accept, such as our funding.
Have you got anything else you want to add before you go? Because we've got two, three minutes, and we've got to go.
What do you want me to talk about? We can talk about anything you want. Smart cars, guitars. I've got a guitar collection.
You still got your smart car?
I still got a smart car. I bought a new one. Bought a little white one.
All right. Okay.
Have you still got yours?
Yeah, I've still got my old banger. Yeah. It's been repaired a few times, just slightly, but it's still on its last legs. But
well,
it's going.
Good.
Hey, look, I'm filling it up four times a year. So I'm doing all right.
The £30 taxer or the nil taxer?
£35. £35. I'd like the nil taxer. I would. But there you go. I mean, £35 not bad. I was paying that for 6 months back in 1980. Whatever.
What's your full tank? About £32.
33, close, yeah, close. If you run it right down to empty, because I don't like going in there too often.
No,
I don't want to give them. I mean, I saw a joke today about a Trigger. They had a caption there. Trigger said, "I don't know what people are worried about. This petrol price is going up. I only ever put £20 in a time." I've left the $1 million question until last.
Yeah,
right?
Go on then.
Now, last time we spoke, we asked you whether you were standing.
Yeah.
Have you had a word with the wife yet? Is she allowing you to or not?
We've had a few words, yeah.
You've had a few words. Yeah, I don't suppose you could mention most of those.
No.
Though, so.
No. It seems like I'm gonna stand.
You're gonna stand?
Yeah.
Does she know?
No.
I mean, it's almost like you've made a decision there and then, just then, when you made that decision, and it's almost like she's nowhere near you at the moment.
I'm hoping she's not listening. Please.
So, when did you decide this? You didn't just decide then, did you?
Do you know what? Since I came in, it was true. When I spoke to you before, I hadn't decided. But you know what? I've still got things to do. I've still got a lot of energy. I've still got a lot of drive, a lot of aspiration. I've still got things I want to do in our community where I'm elected in Ryde North West, in the town centre of Ryde. There's good things happening there. I've got a lot of experience, a lot of skill in doing this job. Been doing it for 13 years. I've still got a bit to offer, Ian.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And I'll say it's a lovely way to end, because I think you're a terrific bloke. I think you've always got the Isle of Wight at heart. It doesn't matter what colour, you know, people are and so on. I just look at, are they doing a good job? It wouldn't matter whether you were a Tory or a Labour or Green or whatever. I just think you're a decent bloke. And I think, you know, you wear your heart on your sleeve, and I think you want the best for the Isle of Wight. Mm. And I think that's all we could ever want. From the leader of the council, isn't it?
That's so very kind of you to say that, Ian. I hope it's true. I know it's true for myself. I hope other people see that in me. And let's go. Let's carry on with this journey we're on.
Well, let's wish you all the very best for the election in May.
Thank you.
And I wish you even better luck when you get home and explain it to the wife later. All right. So,
thanks. Good luck. What are you doing tonight, by the way? Do you fancy?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you fancy coming home with me to explain?
I might keep an eye on the news outlets.
Yes.
Good luck, Phil. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.